Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a mountain in the Swiss Alps called Eiger Mountain. It's really similar to Mount Hood in lots of ways. It's 13,000 foot. Mount Hood is just a little bit less than that. It has three sides to it, basically. There's the southeast side and the west side and the north side. Both of those mountains, the southeast and the west sides, are relatively easy to climb. Most people just kind of walk up the side of Mount Hood. You can do that same thing in this mountain in the Swiss Alps called Eiger. The north side of both of those mountains is hard to climb. The north side of Eiger Mountain is about 6,000 feet of almost vertical rocks and snow and ice. And so there are people who try to climb mountains, and I don't understand exactly why, but they do. The first time somebody climbed Mount Eiger was back in 1858, and they kind of walked up the west slope. For some reason, people decided that they needed to climb that north face of Eiger Mountain, that 6,000 feet of ice and snow and rocks that went virtually straight up. That was first attempted in 1935. As the climbers started up the mountain, the people in the valley could watch and see their progress as they moved up the side of the mountain. They could watch by looking through telescopes. In the first day, things went pretty well for the two climbers. The second day, they began to have some problems, and they didn't gain much vertical height. The third day, they gained even less. On the fourth and the fifth day, a storm came in, and so people couldn't watch very much of what was going on. But with snow came avalanches, and it became more and more difficult for those climbers. On day seven, fog set in, and so they could not see the climbers at all. And a few days later, when the fog finally did clear, there was no sign of those two climbers going up the side of that mountain. But undaunted, the following year, four men decided they would climb that same mountain. And so after waiting several days for the weather to clear, they got started. And it was a total disaster from the start. One was killed by some falling rock. Two were swept away by avalanches. And one man died only a few feet from the rescuers, who could reach up with their ice pick and tap his heel, but they couldn't get him from that point to where they were. The first successful attempt at climbing this mountain came when two groups started in 1938, and they were somewhat racing to the top. As they approached the top, they realized that they would be much better off to work together rather than separately, and so after 4 days, they finally reached the peak of Eiger Mountain in the Swiss Alps. In 2015, a guy by the name of Uli Steck climbed the north face of Eiger Mountain in 2 hours and 22 minutes. That compared to the days that people spent on the mountain in earlier times. You see, the earlier climbers focused on making sure they had enough of everything that they needed. Tents and cooking equipment, layers of clothing, food for several days' hike. They carried many feet of ropes that were heavy and difficult to carry. They had ice picks and perhaps even ladders as they climbed or tried to climb the side of that mountain. In the text for today, Paul says that we place our confidence in earthly things. He uses the word flesh, but he's talking about earthly things. Paul said his pedigree, his spiritual and ethnic privileges as a Jew had given him confidence in everything that he could do. He says specifically in the first part of the reading today, if anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, that is, in worldly things, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As of the law, I was a Pharisee. As to zeal, I was a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness, I was blameless by the law. Paul, it seems, considered his credentials to be perfect before his conversion. He was circumcised, as he said, on the eighth day according to Jewish law. Even after the exile to Babylon, he was still able to trace his roots back to the Israelites who crossed the river. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He could prove that. He said he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a man among men. And as far as the law was concerned, which everybody placed their faith in at that point, he said, I was a Pharisee, a member of the strictest religious group. And as to zeal, he was passionate and enthusiastic as a persecutor of the early church. Paul says that as to righteousness, he was blameless because he followed the law perfectly, or at least thought that he did. Before his conversion, Paul placed his faith in his heritage, in his education, in his pedigree, and his accomplishments. And how many of us today don't place our faith in those same kinds of earthly things? Let me use myself as an example. I have a bachelor's degree in education, major in social science, with a minor in history and psychology. I was certified to teach high school. I was the first military officer in our family. Once in the military, I was designated as a tactical navigator, a tactical coordinator, a mission commander in P-3Cs and S-3As both. I was selected by the commanding officer to be the officer in charge of the maintenance department in a squadron that had 250 personnel in the maintenance department alone. I retired from the Naval Reserve with the rank of commander. I completed 4 years of chiropractic school in 3 years. I did that same thing with my undergraduate degree. I owned two separate practices, and I retired after 32 years of practice with no disciplinary action from the Board of Examiners. I could say that's pretty impressive. But reading the text today, Paul would say, it's all rubbish, Larry Oliver. Your education, your military certifications and your qualifications, all of your knowledge of anatomy and physiology and orthopedics and kinetics and diagnostic skills, all rubbish, all nonsense, it's all drivel, it's all garbage, it doesn't count for anything. But wait a minute, Paul. I worked hard for those things. I put myself through college working on weekends. On Saturday night when all my friends were out partying and on dates, I was working. Qualifying for those military positions was not easy. Being responsible for a $10 million airplane and 12 sailors is no small issue. Tracking Russian submarines during the Cold War was a big deal. Those years in chiropractic school in Portland were, well, they were difficult because I'd go to school all week and then go for a drill on the weekend and come back Monday morning and go back to school again. And what about all that volunteering I did when I was in practice? How can you say, Paul, that's all rubbish? All that certainly must mean something. That was really hard work. But Paul goes on to speak about himself and his credentials like this. He says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. Paul says of all of those earthly things that he talked about, all of his qualifications, He says, I was a Jew. That was rubbish. I was a Pharisee. That's garbage. I obeyed the law to the nth degree. That was all drivel. All of the things that we have accomplished in this world are things that tend to hold us back. They keep us from knowing Christ better. We think about that fellow who climbed that mountain in 2 hours and 22 minutes when all of the other people took days and lost lives in the process. What was the difference between the people in 1930s and the guy in 2015 who climbed that mountain in a couple of hours? What did he do differently? The primary thing that he did differently was he took only what was necessary. He took only what got him to the goal. He didn't take a tent because he wasn't going to be on the mountain that night. He didn't take any cooking utensils because there wouldn't be time to cook. He didn't take any food because he wasn't going to stop to eat. And he took a whole lot less rope, and the rope that he took was much lighter than the rope that those other fellows had taken. Like those early climbers, we tend to need those earthly things that we think we got to carry with us to make sure we are going to get where we're going. We carry lots of baggage that we don't need. We spend time trying to accomplish things that really don't have much value in the greater scheme of things. We hang on to hurts and frustrations and take time and energy working on those and spending time on those when they really don't matter. When we travel this world lighter, we make the journey easier. When we avoid carrying all those unnecessary things with us that limit our progress, we are much better off. Some friends of ours just moved into our neighborhood, and they moved out of a house that they've been in for 40 years. And their comment to us was, we didn't know how much junk we had. For 40 years, they'd been maintaining these things. They'd been struggling to keep them warm and dry and not let the moths get at them. And all it did was take unnecessary time and money for them to hang on to those things. But they held on just the same. Paul says, I have given up all those earthly things. I have sought more important things in order that I may gain Christ, that I may be found in Him. That's what's important. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying or the point here. Paul is not saying that education is not important. He's not saying that we should not try to accomplish things on this earth. He's not saying that a career is a bad thing and that doing well is unimportant, that we shouldn't help people in the process. But when the earthly things that we have get in the way of our relationship with God, then we have got a problem. Today, Paul reminds us that none of those earthly things that we have earned or accomplished make us right before God. The only rightness that we have with God comes from His love and His grace. Our rightness came when Christ died on a cross for us. Nothing we do here, or nothing we accomplish on this earth, allows us to stand innocent before the throne. No matter how many good things we do, no matter how many hard things we strive to do to be blameless, no matter our accomplishments, our education, our certifications, only God gives us the faith so that we may know Him and the power of His death and resurrection. The early climbers of Mount Eiger took days to make it up that north slope. They made sure they had all the right equipment. But all that equipment that they took with them held them down. It drugged them down. It held them back. It sapped their energy. It made them slow going and took time that allowed weather to come in and stop them from reaching their goal. It caused so much distraction that some of them even died in the process. When Yuli Steck climbed that mountain in 2 hours and 22 minutes, he took only what he needed, only things he needed to make the trip easier, and nothing that would hold him back. This life that we are living is a little bit like climbing that north slope of Eiger Mountain. There certainly are trials and tribulations as we move along and climb this life. But if we carry too many unnecessary things, the chances of our success begins to decrease. But if we focus on what is important, if we focus on what we are called to do, if we focus on Jesus as our Savior and our guide and our helper, then the climb will be much easier and the goal can be attained. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.